Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, thank you guys for coming out, hanging out with us here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. This is where we're at, and we'll be back here next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, our last 3 days of camp. So if you've not had a chance to come up and hang out with us here, you live up this way, please come by next week. We'll be here 2 to 6 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Tomorrow, Buffalo's Cafe. Hey, man, we're going to tell you.
Flowery Branch.
Correct. Thank you. Flowery Branch location. Yes, Flowery Branch location.
Hey, real quick, before we get to Falcons, you've been invited to get your bike out.
Oh, I know. I didn't know it was bike night. Did you know it was bike night?
They told me it was bike night when we rolled in.
I had no idea.
It's the first Tuesday of every month here at Hooters Mall of Georgia. Again, the weather, it looks like, I was talking to some of the dudes, looks like the weather's going to hold off, so hopefully no more rain.
Yeah.
But a couple of guys got the trikes. I know you got the three-wheeler.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, I was thinking of Dan Quinn. We'll patch you in. Going in this world. Remember Sons of Anarchy? You know, we'll get your brotherhood patch and come on up here, man. Bring the bike.
I had no idea until we mentioned it earlier in the show. And so it's cool to see guys bringing their bikes out here. But the fact that you have these kind of spots all over, literally all over, especially South Georgia, Mike, I'll tell you, a lot of brothers down there ride and places and meet up and they hang out together. But it's cool. So I'm curious to go outside and see some of these bikes. With that said, though, we're going to tell you what we saw today, what happened at Falcons practice, and we will coming up here. But before we get to that, I mentioned to you guys, we do have Georgia Tech, Georgia tickets. I want to give you a chance to win those right now just for listening to Dukes and Bell. Invesco QQQ Atlanta Gridiron Classic. It's happening Friday, the 20th of November. Remember, the game is not on the flats.
Not a Bobby Dodd.
Yes.
And Bobby, we know that some Tech fans were a little irked that it was not part of their ticket package. So if you want to go, this is going to be a huge game. If Georgia Tech is as good as we think that we are, we have obviously expectations every year for Georgia. It's going to be huge, Carl, at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, at the Benz. So caller 7 right now, Big O, at 404-726-0929. You can win those Georgia Tech tickets. I think it's going to be a hot commodity, to be honest with you. Both teams will be in the hunt, not only in their conferences, but I think also on the national picture. That's what I believe. I think Georgia Tech's going to take a big jump this year. But that game, again, Friday, the 20th of November, caller 7 is going to win those tickets. Stay tuned. We may have more tickets for you here over the next few days, so stay tuned for that. Mike, observations from practice today, man. Again, we practiced, they practiced inside today. Yesterday was outside in the rain. We're talking about the Falcons as training camp continues. We're getting ready for the Lions on Friday. And we know that our quarterbacks are not going to play. Multiple starters will not play. But it doesn't mean you're not getting the work in. What'd you get out of today's practice, Mike?
I thought, you know, more of the same, guys. And we joked around about it with Carl earlier, that you've got some really good things happening with Drake London and Michael Penix Jr. Now, I did have some fun with it. I went full John Fricke when I invoked, and I should have said the caveat of we hope, but I said they do have an energy and a synergy, and it reminds you of all the great elite quarterback to great wide receiver combinations.
It does.
And I did invoke Montana to Rice, which had guys going, what? So, yes, that's where we aspire to be. But one thing for certain, every day in practice, there's 4 or 5 seamless throws with pressure where Michael Penix gets it to Drake, either for a crossing route for a big gain or a touchdown.
Yeah, man. The news, as Mike mentioned earlier in the show, for those who missed it, however you're tuning in, thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one station. It's number one sports station. It's number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. Jake Matthews, Caleb McGarry set out of on 11-on-11, right? So that's starting defense, starting offense. For rest reasons, and the fact that they weren't out there, some of us, you know, when you start to see guys not playing in the normal circumstances that they would be playing in, you get a little concerned. Rest reasons is what we were told, and no reason to be concerned. Now, Brandon Park and Jack Nelson played a lot of right and left tackle today. Those are the backups. Mike, you said you're a little concerned about Storm Norton not being out there.
Yeah, Storm Norton, 3 days in a row, the swing tackle, one of the good backups. When Caleb McGarry went down in years past, Storm Norton has always been able to plug in. It's one of those guys I was hoping that we wouldn't have a problem keeping on the roster for this year. But Storm Norton has missed some time. Jalen Walker also was out of the 11-on-11. So they are really trying to not make that hamstring, Carl, any worse.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, guys, anybody who's trained or you know, the only thing that helps a hamstring is rest. But, yeah, older guys on field turf, give them a day off. Because we just talked to Jake Sandy. Look, you just mentioned it yesterday. Looking the best he's looked in years.
He is.
So let's keep it that way. But it does kind of go counterintuitive to what I said yesterday. I really would love to see, you know, these guys play in preseason. Well, I don't want Michael Penix or Kirk Cousins anywhere near a football field when the three best tackles can't play.
I don't disagree.
Not that they wouldn't, but this is more about load, you said, load management.
Yeah.
But we are going to see the backup quarterbacks, and it is what it is in preseason.
Well, we need Jake. We need Caleb. And I'm not saying you're risking them, but I will tell you, like, there's no reason to overwork them. It's going to be a long season, guys, and you're going to need both of those guys to have this kind of success on offense that you need. Meanwhile, let's hear from Bijan Robinson talking about a couple of things. You'll hear our conversation with Ryan Neuzel, our starting center, coming up here in about 20 minutes. And he, B was asked about Neuzel, and Mike, he said, this guy is the same dude every single day. You know what's funny is we lost Drew Dahlman. He signs that nice deal in Chicago. Wish him the best of luck. But, like, I'm not concerned about the center spot, Mike. I'm not. I'm like, Neuzel played 8 games last year, guys. Mike and I not one time came on a Monday, Tuesday or Wednesday,
right,
after a game and said, oh, my God, this Neuzel guy's killing us. I can't remember talking about it.
And you mentioned it. You'll hear the interview coming up a little bit later this hour where Neuzel basically says, you know, it's a little bit overwhelming when you first have to get thrown to the Wolves, but you practice and you practice well, and he's earned this right, you know, initially from App State, first, you know, practice squad, then, you know, sticking with the team. But he's good. And Dahlman, they were not prepared to spend that kind of money. Dahlman got more money with the Bears because they believed in Ryan Neuzel. I like the guy. And as you said, you're not complaining, you're not talking about it. 2015, you brought it up. We didn't have Alex back. We had Joe Pers. We had all these different guys. Joe Hawley was in
Joe
there.
Hawley,
they
yeah.
couldn't snap the ball. Remember the game against the Saints where literally they were snapping the ball to Matt Ryan's shin?
Correct.
I mean, it was ugly, and then that's why we did lobby, and well,
they listened.
Manager heard us when got Alex back. Credit to Spell. But, yeah, this guy, I like him, and he hasn't been a problem.
All right, man. Let's hear Bijan talk about Neuzel's belly. This is weird. He's talking about his belly being rock hard and how he is a dog when it comes to, you know, how he approaches things. Listen to B. Interesting. And again, you know, when you start talking about the O-line, it's a big plus right now. I think we have, going into the season, it's one of the positives that you're going to hear a lot about when teams play the Falcons is the offensive line. And part of that is because of the things at Neuzel and the interior line, Mike Bergeron, Lindstrom. I saw Lindstrom today. Just quick side note. Like, Lindstrom, man, his motor – dude, he's going after it. Like, plays 10 yards down the field. It's
right.
A running play. He's going after guys, you know, and you're like, that is why he's one of the best in the NFL at his position and why we ended up paying him. But it's not like 5 yards and the play's over, Mike. Bijan breaks a run today. Like, Lindstrom's down the field trying to cream guys.
Right, and he's a guy that, it's funny, he really is like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Talk to him. Day-Day and I were talking about Formula One. He's a big F1 fan, and we're talking about Ferrari, and he was at the Miami Grand Prix with Bergeron, by the way, last year, and we're hanging out. But, yeah, he's like just a sweet, gentle giant, but when he gets on the field, he's nothing but ornery, man, and getting after it. And that's why, I mean, by all the metrics, including Madden, he is one of the top guards in the league.
It's true. Speaking of killers, said for years we don't have enough of them. I would not have believed that one of those guys is playing wide receiver for us. But I want you to hear Bijan Robinson talk about his teammate Drake London and how he turns into this guy on the field. We've heard this from Raheem Morris. We've heard it from his peers at wide receiver. Guys, we may have a special player in Drake. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, Mike. He's put up numbers, again, with busters. We've said this.
Right.
What's he going to do with the guy that totally wants to get him the ball in Michael Penix? This is Bijan Robinson talking about Drake London today.
Drake's a different breed. I just don't understand how he's, like, super nice, you know, outside of the field. And then on the field, like, yeah, he's like a monster. Like, he'll cuss you out. if you get in front of him, if they throw a flag, like, he's going to talk to the ref. He's going to speak. But that's what drives us. Like, his energy, what he brings, like, I feel that. And I'm not going to talk, but in my head, I'm like, yeah, I gotta be on that level with him. Because he enforces something that we haven't seen before. And Drake can be the nicest guy, but, you know, on that field, like, he's a scary dude to line up in front of. He's a scary dude to try to take on a block to, because he's going to try to kill you. But I mean, I love that dude. Like, obviously he's one of my best friends, but on the field, he's the best player you want to play with.
On the field, he's trying to kill you.
And you and I, we talked about it earlier in the show, big show, rewind, bloop, bloop, on the Odyssey app. But when we first met him when he was a rookie, you and I, we got done, we set off the air. I said, there's an intensity. Because let's be honest, if you're an SEC fan or ACC fan, you're West Coast, Pac-12, USC, soft. No, this dude is the antithesis of that mindset. He is tough as nails. He's got a sort of a thing of like a slow boil. Right underneath the surface. Yeah. This is an intensity. He was so frustrated with how crappy the quarterback play is, but as a rookie, you can't say anything.
Can't say anything.
Can't say anything about Mariota, and you couldn't say anything about Ritter. You're trying to pump up a rookie. And now I think this is where that's why I did say what I said about the explosive growth I think we're going to see with 9-5 with Penix to Drake.
What's up? What's up, Day-Day?
It's just funny because with Oren playing that music and you hear the weights or whatever that was in the background, it sounded like they were in a prison yard.
Somebody stacking the weight. It sounds like somebody's stacking it. Now, man, look, when we say Drake from here on out, this is what we're playing in the background, because I love the fact that he is already giving his teammates that perception. Like, when we out here, it's nothing but business, and I'm taking people out.
I ain't a killer, but don't push me.
Don't push him. 404-726-0929. That is the number, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, live at Hooters.
Yeah, man, don't push Drake because he's close to the edge. Shark didn't do anything again today. I mean, he did catch the ball. I didn't see him dropping passes today. So I'm worried about Mooney. We got to get Mooney out there.
Got to get Mooney back.
Because DJ Shark.
Got to get Mooney back.
Now, unless
Darnell?
Do you think Shark's struggling with his playbook?
I don't know.
Seven is simply do a runner route and catch a ball.
Yeah, but he's a vet. I don't know if the playbook is getting. And what are they asking him to do? I don't know if he's being asked to do more than what he's been asked to do in other places, but he's not popped. That's what I would tell you. And for me, you know, when I'm watching Darnell or I'm watching Drake, Ray, these guys, even Pitts, guys, and you know I've been hard on him. He's popping. Pitts had a nice touchdown today in the red zone that, you know, caught a ball, man. The DB's, like, on him. He's putting the ball so the DB can't swat it away and scores, gets his feet down. That's the kind of stuff that we need to see, like, right at the goal line, Mike. I mean, like, he had, like, 2 or 3 yards to make this play, and he cuts it and makes it, and you're like, that's the kind of catch I want to see.
Yeah, man, and we talked about, you know, Anthony Richardson trying to find his gear. Penix is the biggest critic of himself, bigger than Zach Robinson,
yes.
You know, bigger than any of the assistant coaches. He really does talk. I mean, he really self-scouts. He tells you what he's got to work on. I thought today he looked great. And Drake also does the run blocking, too. The things that Julio did, that Sanu used to do, you got to be able to do that for this team, and he does that, too.
Yeah, all those guys get paid, man.
Right.
When you do those things. Hey, man, we're coming back. We got to talk to Grant McCauley. Braves, again, lose last night. Just abysmal at the plate. And it's not about wins and losses. It's really, are they going to allow some of these young guys to play? We'll talk to Grant about that. Game 2 of the series tonight, as we'll talk about that with Grant McCauley on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant McCauley here. Let's talk some Braves. And, look, I'd love to say you have answers when it comes to being 3-for-30 at the plate. But I know you don't. I know you don't have any answers when it comes to saying that. Last night, before we get into some of the other particulars, again, another struggle, man. And it doesn't matter who we're throwing out there right now. I just want to see progress. I keep talking about this. Guys are like, what do you want to see, Dukes? I want to see progress from the players that are playing and the guys that are going to get opportunities. What happened last night, Grant?
Yeah, well, more of the same of what we've seen this year. It's just been a struggle, to use the exact vernacular and phrase that you just used and that we've been talking about pretty much all season long. I mean, even when you have those nights where the Braves break out, they have that big inning, they put up a big number, you just can't count on it to be the same the next night. And even from that very simple approach factor, and look, now that you're dealing with a lineup that doesn't have Ronald Acuña Jr., that doesn't have Austin Riley, that's not helping matters. But this is a Braves club that has struggled without those guys at times this year and with those guys at times this year. So, to your point, there's not really an answer about it, but you would like to see some kind of progress. And I guess we're getting some of that with Ozzie Albies. We're getting some of that with Michael Harris, obviously. It's just trying to get everybody rowing that boat or pulling that rope in the same direction has been, again, to use that word, a struggle.
I know, Grant, that when you are as far out as the Braves are now, some Braves fans don't want to hear it, but a lot of guys are hitting us up on the text line today saying, for better or for worse, can we just find a way out what we have with Nacho Alvarez? And is he a legitimate option to be in this infield next year if you did decide to move on from Ozzie?
Yeah, I think that really the thing with Nacho that the Braves have recognized and really knew from the moment that they drafted him was he's a natural third baseman. They moved him around the diamond, but the place that he excels is third base. And the Braves have a third baseman under contract for a very long time that, just frankly, Nacho Alvarez is not going to out-hit even in a down year. Austin Riley is, you know, ultimately one of the better sluggers on the team. When he's going right, he's one of the better sluggers in the National League. So you're just not going to replace him. As far as second base is concerned, I still am, you know, just not convinced that the Braves are going to just cut ties with Ozzie Albies, decline that option, and move on. Because you have to go about the business of replacing him. And I can't tell you that trying out Ozzie at $7 million next year is not worth finding out what you have or what he is or what he's not at that point, rather than just handing the keys to Nacho Alvarez, a relative unknown, and saying, we hope you can live up to the lofty standards that a healthy all-star level Ozzie Albies has set at this position. That's a pretty tall order.
What happens? Do you think they go get a second baseman? Do you believe that? Do you think they in the free agent market, how they approach that in the offseason, or you feel like there's someone in the organization that can fill that void at this point, Grant?
No, there's no one in the organization, in my eyes, that can fill that void. And secondly, well, really first, the first part of your question, I don't really feel like second base is the area that they're targeting as much as they'd like to, I think, solve the shortstop problem. That's been one for – you know, right. If you want to give Orlando Arcia the benefit of the doubt in 2023, that makes total sense. But the last couple of years has been a real struggle. And it's not to say that, you know, Nick Allen is not capable of doing the thing in the field. The real issue for Nick Allen has been that his offensive profile is nil. There's just really not one. So that, I think, is probably a bigger priority. Obviously, they're married to Jerks and Profar in left field for the time being. So if I were looking at areas that they immediately would want to strengthen, their outfield production has got to get a lot better, which it could with a better Michael Harris and a healthy Ronald Acuña Jr. and maybe a full season of Jerks and Profar. But if I had to pick one position to point at, it would be shortstop.
I wanted Willy Adames last year. He's been pretty slow start. He's got 17 home runs. I don't know what the expectation was for the Giants.
Cost was too much,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was too much money, 59. Is there anybody, Grant, that comes to mind that would be out there?
Not off the top of my head, but I think this is where, and we were talking about this the other day after the trade deadline, conversations that can happen around the deadline that you revisit over the course of the winter. And here's a really interesting one that I saw come up from Dan Haynes of The Athletic, and he covers the Minnesota Twins. I don't know if this has gotten across your desk yet or on your radar, but it certainly got my attention. When Alex Anthopoulos told me that, look, we were looking to find players who could make sense for us in 2026 and beyond, and we had some of those conversations about buying some of those players at the deadline, even though they're far out of it, one of the names is Byron Buxton. Now, Buxton is a fascinatingly talented player who has dealt with his fair share of injuries and then some over the course of his career. He was not willing to waive his no-trade clause with anything that was approached by the Minnesota Twins on that side. I don't have any further details other than to say that the Mets and the Braves were very interested in him, with the Braves making the biggest push, according to that report from The Athletic. So it just kind of goes to show the conversations that Alex was kind of talking about. You can talk to lots of clubs about just about anybody. Nobody's going to be offended because it's the time of year to do it. Maybe that starts to get the wheels in motion for something. And I certainly don't mind the idea of a Byron Buxton being in that outfield. You want to talk about an athletic, defensively gifted outfield?
Home run pop. You can sign me up.
Yeah,
right.
Home run pop, Byron Buxton, Michael Harris II, and Ronald Acuna Jr. Yeah, I'd be all over that.
It is Grant McCauley, guys, joining us. Game two of the series tonight continues as we talk Braves with you here. Coming up, our interview with Ryan Neusel, starting center for our Atlanta Falcons, and more on what's going on around the NFL as things are happening, including a wide receiver suspended for the first three games, which will affect his game against us, against the Atlanta Falcons. Grant, when we talk about bringing guys back, do you really think Chris Sale is going to be back and pitch at any point this season?
I think that he is progressing and making his way back. The unfortunate thing is I'm not sure that any of the other injured Braves pitchers can really say as much. With Sale, it was a freak injury. You needed time to let it heal, and hopefully he's just able to progress right through this. And I know he's throwing now and has been since right around the All-Star break. And so maybe he's going to graduate that and ramp that up and be back. Maybe by the end of the month, maybe it's more of a September thing. There's no firm timetable on it, but you know, Spencer Schwellenbach, it does not sound like or look like he's going to be pitching again this year. Ronaldo Lopez, it's a possibility, but again, no firm timetable on him. We did find out about Joe Jimenez today. He has been shut down in Florida from throwing because he's having discomfort in his surgically repaired knee. So that's kind of the update on where the pitching staff is. I know you asked about Sale, but I wanted to give you all of the MASH unit guys that we've kind of talked about over the course of this year, which unfortunately is quite a list. But I do think that Sale will pitch again this year. I think he expects to pitch again this year, and hopefully we'll be able to see that and get him into the winter, because I think there is value of having gotten some innings under your belt and feeling like you're going into the winter healthy and not off the heels of an injury and a rehab process.
You know, the guys, Grant McCauley joins us for next year. Just to go show that we're back in this thing and we want to get the pitching right, I'd love to see them just crank up the Brinks truck, back it up for Dylan Cease. What is that Dylan Cease contract going to look like wherever he signs?
It's going to look pretty expensive, I can tell you that. I mean, Max Fried, who's a little bit older, got a pretty good amount. I think Max has a better pedigree than Dylan Cease has, but in terms of the stuff and what it's supposed to look like, Cease is right there. But I also feel like he's kind of been an underperformer in his time in San Diego. He hasn't really had that big season that you would expect or the one that you'd want heading into free agency. But, yeah, you know, there are teams out there that are going to pay for the arm talent, the projectability, and, you know, the idea of a Dylan Cease. But I'm just not sure what he gets in terms of years. But I'm going to imagine the AAV on that deal is probably going to be in the 25-plus million per year. Is that a six-year deal, seven-year deal, seven and an option? Not really sure. But there will be multiple clubs after him. It will be interesting to see where exactly he lands and what exactly that market looks like, because there are just a lot more questions around him than some of the other big money deals we've seen pitchers sign in free agency.
Grant, good stuff, man. Appreciate you. We'll see what they do tonight. Hopefully they don't go 3-for-30. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, well, hopefully not. Look forward to it, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Look, there's nothing you could say about a performance like that, and that's kind of been, you know, our season. But I'm not surprised at this point, again, with the lineup that they're throwing out there, and there are some guys who are trying to prove themselves. But Mike's right about how you're starting to look at this. And, look, we need to approach this in a way, and I'm talking about Alex Anthopoulos, the front office, and Mike, I'm hoping. I don't know this for a fact.
Right.
But nothing is off the table. You can't go into the offseason and say, well, we're willing to pay this but not that. It's a losing cause. You've got to go into the offseason and say, who are the best starting pitchers available? Who might we trade for, and what's the cost of that? And let's look at everything. And if you do that, then we're going to be able to get a couple of guys in here that I think are going to be able to help us. But if you go in with the attitude like, well, if it's more than 30 a year, we're not going to do it. Well, then we're not going to get what we need.
This gets me back to what we said earlier in the show. We're talking about dynasties, how you missed the boat on one. You had to go all in 2022. You know, keep Dansby, keep Freddie. Yeah, we're coming to the turnstiles. We're filling up the battery. Spend some loot. Let's go. So much depending on parking lots on this side of 75.
Correct.
Let's put it in a ball club. You know, and that's where we need to be this year. But you know what we'll probably be talking about next year, Carl?
What's that? What's that?
Charlie Morton and Tyler Anderson.
They're going to bring Charlie back.
Charlie be literally like 56. You know, I'm still surprised Rich Hill isn't here. He got DFA'd by the Royals.
That's true.
We just saw him out in Kansas City. He's like 45. He's played for almost every team in the bigs. But, I mean, but that's the kind of where we need to be living. You know, I mean, a guy like Jack Flaherty, he's got a player option with the Tigers. All these guys are too expensive for what Alex has either been willing to or not allowed to spend on.
All right, man. Coming up, our conversation with Ryan Neuzel, also what the NFL has banned and who got suspended today.
I use this stuff every day on the show. I can't believe they're going to ban it.
Is that what you've been doing?
Yeah. When I need a boost, when I need some energy.
Okay. We'll come back. We'll tell you what that substance is. It's not what you think. And Shador
is going to... What are you talking about? I'm not going to... I'm fine.
Shador is going to get some playing time, man. We'll tell you about all that and our conversation with Ryan Neuzel here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to be the stuff that Mike Bell was on at the golf tournament.
So messed up.
By the way, here's some clarification from the Associated Press. They think they want to ban smelling salts. There is a logic behind it.
Okay.
It took me a minute to find it.
Okay.
The idea is if you are concussed and you've got access to smelling salts, you might be able to respond and trip and not give an accurate baseline for the physician, or if it's not your
so
team
you're
trainer
them.
And the NFL uses the third-party guy, that you could basically be, no, I'm fine, because you smelling salts can make you snap out of it, seem like you're not concussed.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That does. Meanwhile, NFL suspends Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison for the first three games, including our game, guys. They play at Chicago. They play against us, their home opener.
Sunday night football day.
Sunday night, and then they play the Bengals. The good news is, and look, Addison's got to get his stuff together. But
so this was he had a DUI. It got adjudicated, and this is the punishment for it, basically.
Well, he pleaded guilty to it.
Right.
But, yes, that's part of the punishment of the NFL.
Because when you see substance abuse, substance can still be alcohol.
Correct. So the thing about this, though, is, you know, and again, I don't wish any of this on anybody, but for the Falcons, defensively, we're not having to prepare as much as we did. Don't get me wrong. They're still a tough offensive team. We got to see what J.J. McCarthy's about. But Jordan Addison out there, Mike, with that wide receiving core, they're tight end. That's a tough group, man. We saw them last year.
But think about it, and they made a mockery of our secondary. We had guys crawling around, like doing a crab walk. Justin Jefferson's like, me over here. And Addison's like, I'm over here too. So Addison now, that certainly means, look, yes, not to oversimplify it. You could perhaps bracket, but you can spend more attention on Justin Jefferson. And I don't know what the rest of their depth chart at wide receiver looks like, but that's a big hit for the second week of the season, potentially.
No doubt about it. Meanwhile, one other news note before we hear Ryan Neuzel, and that is Shador Sanders expected to start Cleveland's preseason opener against the Panthers. Mary Kay Cabot's reporting that. Couple of hamstring injuries to Kenny Pickett and apparently Dylan Gabriel. Either way, I said to one of our listeners, because Mark was like, it's way too early to draw any conclusions. Guys, you have to play to show that you can play. If Shador Sanders can play and is not given the ability to play, Mike, and shown that in these preseason games, we don't know. So I don't know how much this means to Kevin Stefanski and the coaching staff, but we're going to find out. And the bottom line is, it doesn't hurt. For him, on the depth chart, they list him, I think, as the fourth guy on the depth chart. If he plays well in this first preseason game, it'll be good for Shador. But this is one of those storylines we're watching because we don't know who's going to start when it's all said and done in Cleveland. All right, Mike and I sat down with Ryan Neuzel. I want you to hear this conversation. He is an interesting dude, our starting center. Dukes and Bell with Ryan Neuzel, our starting center for the Atlanta Falcons. We've not had a chance to really visit with you, man. I mean, we've been talking about you a lot. Right. You got a lot of playing time last year, and I think, you know, obviously that played a role in them seeing you as the guy. Talk about that experience, man, because we weren't talking about you, which meant there was no fall off when you were in there last season.
No, it was good. I mean, starting the year as a backup, obviously you have to be ready for any events that happen, anything that goes down. So I got called on, and I was – fortunate enough just to be able to fill the role for the time being, and I was very fortunate just to keep things rolling.
And congratulations on the contract, by the way, 2-year extension. What's been the hardest part, or when you jumped in last year, was it just finding chemistry with Bergeron and Lindstrom?
Yeah, the hardest thing is that first game. You kind of get thrown in the fire, like, was it, two-minute drill versus the Chiefs for me. So that's always the hardest part. But then you get down to, like, the week prep, and you really hone in just on all the looks and just getting all the reps, and it definitely makes it a lot easier week by week.
Ryan, when you go in a situation like that, everybody got crazy eyes, right? They're looking around. You run in a huddle. Get your mind right, right? They're looking at you like you're crazy. Is that how it goes?
No, I probably had the crazy eyes. I mean, you just got to kind of flip the switch from just kind of keeping your head ready, like spectating the game, and then just throwing in right away on like those situations. You just got to stay ready.
Fans don't pay enough attention to offensive line, but Jake Matthews was talking about it and saying, you know, Ryan Neusel, you got to do all the – there's a lot of responsibility that comes to being the center.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with just like – IDing the front and just getting everyone on the same page, kind of just reacting to what the defense gives us and presents, and then just working on that.
Can you give us an example? You are walking up to the line and the first thing you see and you say is?
I mean, it changes every time, so it's no real thing. But it depends. Run, pass, like just calling out the mic really starts with the first like set point.
So you're calling his number out?
Yep, calling out his number.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, he's not giving us any secret sauce here.
So there's some big 350-pound nose tackle over you. I mean, and all this is going on in real time, right?
Yeah, it all goes in real time, especially when, like, when we're on the road and we have to go on the silent cadence. Like, sometimes I have to make the call. Like, then I just put my head between my legs and look for the look for the quarterback's foot to just snap the ball. Sometimes the picture changes when the head goes up.
Speaking of quarterbacks, we're talking with Ryan Neusel, guys, starting center for Atlanta Falcons. It's Dukes and Bell. Tell us about Penix, man. That connection with you guys. Look, we can make fun of this because we went through a period here, right, 15, where our center was not getting the ball at the time, Matt Ryan, and we were like, we can't get the ball to the quarterback. So we don't take that lightly. What's that like, the connection with you guys?
No, it's good. Penix is very vocal and very on top of things, so it definitely helps. And then just being able to relay stuff, like if the snap's just a little bit off, just telling me to get it right and get it going.
Talking with Ryan Neusel, guys. As we mentioned, he is our center. He's a Central Florida guy from Bradenton River, so you got to be a good fisherman. Yeah, mangrove snapper?
No, not too much snapper. I mean, just grew up just bass fishing.
Okay,
just a lot of places.
Yeah. And then App State, by the way. Talk about your journey and how you got recruited and how you wound up in Boone.
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate up in Boone to get my start there. I started as tight end. They came down and visited me, and they told me, probably better for you to be interior line. But went on a visit there, absolutely loved App State, and just fell in love with the school, the campus, the staff, and it was just like, how bad could it be to start O-line?
Yeah, not a bad future, huh? Yeah. Things worked out. So you got good hands, good feet if you were tight end.
I was probably average, speaking that they did move me to O-line, but I like to think that they were pretty good.
Now, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC, as Ryan Neusel is with us, guys. He told me a story. You were playing against one of Michael Irvin's kids' teams, and you were playing tight end, and he was talking trash to some DB. Don't let that kid beat you.
Yeah, no, we played like St. Thomas Aquinas out there, and that was, that was one heck of a roster. So they were just star-studded on the defensive side.
Right.
Ryan, who's the jokester on this offensive line, man? You got a lot of vets now. I mean, obviously, McGarry is a vet. All of a sudden, like, we look up, he's been here like 6-7 years. Who's the jokester?
It's got to be Bergeron.
Really?
Yeah, he's for sure the jokester. He just keeps things light, entertaining, and, I mean, just keeps it fun.
You've been here a couple of years, and now with camp, we feel like there's an energy, and even the veterans are talking about, usually when we ask about playoffs, guys go, we'll take it one game at a time. Seems like there really is a mission now to take it to the next level this season.
I mean, it just seems like every year we just keep building. So this year, I mean, it's definitely looking good, and, I mean, I think we have some good pieces.
Talk about the cohesion with the O-line. We talked to Jake a little bit about this. He was kind of remembering, you know, the line that he was with in 2016 when this team went to the Super Bowl. And he was like, he feels like the group is close that way. Describe that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, ever since I've been here, Jake, Chris, and Caleb have been here. So it's kind of great just being able to stay with those guys. Then Bergeron going into year three, looking like really comfortable with everyone. And it's just kind of really nice just having the same unit together.
Now's a chance for us to do the good cop, bad cop, and spill the tea. Are there any secret plays you can share with us? Something new from Zach Robinson? How explosive is this offense going to be, Ryan Neusel?
Come on!
No, can't do any of that. No, just run the ball, throw the ball, get in the end zone.
But there is a toughness and a mentality about teams that can run the football, and the Falcons have a rep around the league as being that kind of tough team, and now you're a part of that. Is that an attitude you're born with or develops through your coming up through college?
No, it definitely starts with Led, the O-line coach. I mean, just beat off the ball, starts there, and just being tough, finish, and just kind of just having the edge when you run the ball, make it count.
Dwayne Ledford, he's talking about the O-line coach here. Ryan Neusel with this guy's Dukes and Bell. Speaking of that, you kind of made him have to make a decision, right? I mean, you wouldn't go away. You just kept showing up and making plays and doing what you needed to do. I mean, I find that interesting because some guys maybe get frustrated knowing, all right, maybe I'm not going to get a shot. You don't know what's going to happen. But he speaks highly of you and the motivation you had to make this happen for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it was just step by step every year. Start of the year, my rookie year on practice squad, just trying to do everything I could just to stick around. And then year two, some injuries happened. I was able to get on the active roster. Kind of just honestly was the same thing, just giving all the practice looks and just having the chance that I could get in. And then year three, I was fortunate enough to just get some actual playing time and really build on that. And then obviously last year, got some real playing time and just fortunate to be here.
Offensive linemen generally have the rep as being kind of low-key guys, but you know, you get a contract, two-year deal, you got some roots now in the NFL. You buy anything fun for yourself this offseason?
Did buy a house. Yeah, had a wedding. So those are the two really big purchases around here. Nothing truly fun yet, no. solely just working through the house. That's enough.
Right.
Ryan, as we talk about this team, what's your sense? What do you feel? Like, you've been around football all your life. You've been on good teams. What's your sense here with what you've seen so far?
I just think everyone wants to go and get theirs. I mean, everyone's ready to just go out there week one, kind of just get things rolling, and everyone's just hungry.
Well, we appreciate your time, bro. Again, congratulations on the contract, and look forward to seeing you doing all that stuff you've been doing, man, the anchor of our offensive line. By the way, you set any expectations for yourself? Do you believe those PFF rankings, which we don't understand?
No, just trying to finish the year and do great.
All right.
Anything about these scuffles that we've seen? I got to ask you that. Yeah. Anything? I mean, I know it's just a part of the game, but it's happening a lot out here. Like, it's been fun, but, I mean, like, I think it was Chris Lindstrom said yesterday, it's elevating guys. How do you sense what goes on in the trenches there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just camp scuffles. Happens everywhere. But, obviously, when a few of those break out, then it's like, okay, this next play, like, we got to go on both sides right. of the ball. Like, can't have, like, a little scuffle break out, and then everyone's, like, elevated, and then one side really beats up on the other next play. Everyone gets a little elevated, you said.
And Coach Rod takes care of his starters in the preseason. Are you looking forward to, I presume, seeing the Titans? And that's some of these scrimmages, these in-week workouts with the Titans, seem like that's where we're really going to see some physicality and see guys really establish themselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have a good D-line up front, so it'll definitely be a dogfight up there.
Ryan Neuzel, man, good luck. Appreciate you stopping by, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I did get him to expand off the air on the story that D-Led, I get a producer credit. Hey, Mike, did you ask him the story? Yeah, D-Led, he shut it down. Didn't say anything about playing against St. Thomas Aquinas. But he did mention off the air that, yeah, apparently Nike was a big sponsor. STA is a big parochial school in Broward County near Fort Lauderdale. And they always put guys in the NFL and in the big colleges. But that was the school he was going up against. And he said, yeah, it was literally like guys are like, they might as well be showing up in Lamborghinis for that game.
Yeah, look. Those all-star type squads,
right?
I mean, like, we see more of that now in high school, certainly, but he had a nice career at App State, and it's good to see a good dude like this get an opportunity. You know, we talk about all these guys grinding, man. Everybody's just coming to the NFL and stars. Right. Mike, he's waiting his turn. This guy might be a 10-year NFL guy.
No.
You know, you don't know.
A couple guys hit us up with the text line, goes, man, he sounds like a dude next door, very likable.
Yes.
A couple guys sounded off. And again, as Carl said to start the conversation, we're not talking about you because you're doing your job. We're not. That's the old joke. Bob Whitfield gets so mad at me. I was like, why are you messing with me? I go, Bob, when they say holding number 70, everybody knows.
Everybody knows. And we didn't hear Neuzel's number being called a whole lot, which is great. Hey, man, tomorrow we're back at camp. Again, Buffalo's Cafe, Flowery Branch is where we're going to broadcast from. We'll be back here at Hooters, a Mall of Georgia location, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Just to get things started. And next week, Corky Kale, man, we're going to be out one of the high school stadiums. Where are we headed, David?
West Forsyth.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. So that's going to happen Thursday. Excited about that because we'll get some high school football in here. Hey, man, Turtles coming up. Chris has got the night show. We got to get out of the way, man. Let's clear our throat. If you missed any of our interviews, they're online at Odyssey.com. By the way, subscribe to Dukes and Bell. Don't miss any of our shows, any of our content. You'll get notified with the app, man. Download it today. It's absolutely free, and that way you can stay up on everything that's going on with us. All right? Hey, man, thank you guys for being here. Thanks to our listeners for coming out again. We love all the folks who come out here to Hooters and hang out with us. Families as well. Mike, you were just talking about the lovely family over here with the beautiful daughter.
Right.
All types of folks, man.
men, women, single folks, families, everybody's coming out to hang out with Dukes and Bill. We'd love to see, get a chance to see you guys next week. Tomorrow, come see us at Buffalo's Cafe. Hey, Day-Day, great job executive producing. Big O back at the station. Stay tuned. Chris has got the night show. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, love Teddy Bridgewater, and I love an underdog who's battling and trying to come back from big-time injuries. He nearly lost his leg, Carl, a couple years back.
Yeah.
He went down to coach at Miami Northwestern High, one of the poorest school districts in Dade County. Spent some money out of his own pocket to help some kids, Uber rides, give him some meals, give him some recovery after the game. Some other coaches dropped a dime because he was keeping guys. He was building a culture.
That's right.
So other coaches, you know, they I hope you sleep well tonight. He's out of the high school coaching business. He just got signed by the Buccaneers.
Yeah, man. Congratulations. Teddy Bridgewater is a very likable guy. I'll tell you this, Mike. We don't know how good Shador Sanders is going to be, what he's going to be, whether he's going to be anything. But you got to get a shot. And to get an opportunity to start this first preseason game, as one guy said to me, he said, Dukes, aren't these preseason games for guys that are not going to make the team? No, that's silly.
Right.
It's about getting work in and about seeing how guys compete against other teams and other players. I don't know what Shador is going to be, but now, to Mike's point, like our starters aren't playing, I might want to see a little bit of what Shador is going to do on Friday.
Mm.
Hey, man, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you place the tuna melt on the Mount Rushmore of great sandwiches. Cha-cha.
I love any show where I do no research. It's so much easier.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.